The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You know, we could spend a lot of time reflecting on this Brooklyn Nets season. But if somebody was to ask me, Big Perk, one word that comes to mind when you think about the fact that the Brooklyn Nets were swept in the first round of these NBA playoffs, here's the word that comes to my mind. Justice. First Takes in the house. Let's go.
One of the preseason favorites to start the year, the Brooklyn Nets, and it all fell apart.
It ends like that. You start thinking about it the whole year. Still asking
why. I mean, I was out, Kev was out, James was traded. It's just a combination of things that happened throughout our year. Someday
gonna wake up screaming. A lot of stuff that happened throughout the season need to go well in order for you to be a good team. A lot of things didn't go our way.
All I gotta say is Stephen A. must be a soap opera star because that was a dramatic opening to the show. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday. I'm Molly Karam. That is Kendrick Perkins, NBA champion. And this is the one and only Stephen A. counting down till he talks about the Nets. So you're kind of in a somber mood this morning because I'm not feeling that.
I'm not somber. I just have a lot to say. I spent the evening reflecting, Kendrick Perkins, just reflecting. And I have a lot to say, but not before I hear what my man Big Perk has to say. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning. All right, let's do this. So the preseason favorites to win the title, the Brooklyn Nets, got swept on their home floor last night. KD finally looked like himself, putting up 39-7-9, but it wasn't enough. And Ben Simmons was not on the bench after his back soreness resurfaced, had him out once again for game four. KD, how would you characterize this season?
No regrets. I mean, it happens. You know, no crying over spilled milk. It's about how we can progress and get better from here. We can't have no regrets on what we did. It just played out the way it played.
I felt like I was letting the team down at a point where I wasn't able to play. You know, we were trying to exercise every option for me to play, but I never wanted to just be about me. And I think it became a distraction at times. And when I say I'm here with Kev, I think that it really entails us, you know, managing this franchise together alongside Joe and Sean and just our group of family members that we have in our locker room and in our organization. You know, so it's not just about me and Kev. I don't want to make it just about that. We're cornerstones here, but you know, we have a few other guys that are on contract, and I think we just got to make some moves this offseason and really talk about it and really be intentional about what we're building.
Big Perk, I'll start with you. How would you recap this season for the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, I mean, a complete disaster, a failure. And these interviews that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant gave after the game, I mean, it was beyond crazy to me. And look, I know I came on here and I said I would never say anything negative about Kyrie Irving again. But right now, damn it, I can't help it. I don't know what the hell he was talking about in that interview. I mean, he was talking in circles so much I got dizzy. I mean, what are you talking about? You talking about you were a distraction. Duh. You talking about that you put your team in a bad situation, basically. Duh. We always wondering, hey, Kyrie, are you going to sacrifice? Are you going to get vaccinated? Are you going to come back? You know, you got Kevin Durant. He's 100% in. He needs you. He's riding with you. He has your back. He defends you all the time. When I look at this Brooklyn Nets team from the upper part of the organization, from Sean Marks on down, It is a complete circus. It's a complete circus. No structure, no culture, no nothing. It's no accountability whatsoever. And Steve Nash, I mean, my God, what are you gonna do? The whole series, you stood around there and just stood there and looked like a damn statue. You didn't make one single adjustment. You didn't put neither one of your superstars in position to be successful. So when I'm looking at this Brooklyn Nets team, don't sit up here and say, oh, we're not gonna cry over spilled milk. Yeah, yes, we are. Yes, we are. Because you cannot have two of the most skilled players to ever play the game of basketball in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and you can't win one game, not one game. And so it goes back to what I told Stephen A. after game one when I said, Kevin Durant got punked. And then right after he got punked, guess what? The Boston Celtics not only made Kevin Durant tap out, but Marcus Smart made Kyrie Irving tap out. Marcus Smart put him in the straitjacket. He couldn't breathe. That's my takeaway. That's my recap of the Nets season.
You know, when you I had to sit up there because I was arguing with some people last night and then some additional folks this morning, because I'm going to tell you a little secret about me covering the NBA for as long as I have and covering sports for as long as I have. I'm about brothers getting paid. I'm unapologetic about that. As much as I have had to talk about sports figures, particularly athletes, not just coaches, obviously, and executives, but athletes primarily, and what have you, if you've noticed and you've paid attention, Kendrick Perkins, most of the talking, 99% of the time, damn it, if not 100% of the time, I talk about dudes after they got their money, because I want them to get paid. I want them to get paid. We understand the society that we're living in. We understand the challenges that we face, particularly as a black community. We understand a lot of stuff that's going on, okay? We get all of that. And I want brothers to get paid. But I also want to send a message that we're about earning our money. We're about going out there and putting in that work and making sure that you understand we're going to show up. You understand? And I looked at Kyrie Irving and I looked at Kevin Durant last night. And I know that Kevin Durant is a hooper all day, every day. He don't give a damn. He want to play, he want to play, he want to play. And I get all of that. Did you see any pain, particularly from Kyrie Irving, Kendrick Perkins? Did you see anything that said, you know what, it really, really hurts. We just got swept. I mean, this is pretty bad. This really, really stinks. Oh, no, 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 no. He was smiling on the basketball court. You know, hugging, singing Kumbaya to his former teammates in Boston and all of this other stuff. He was hugging. He was smiling. He goes up to the press conference. He's cool. He's suave. Because you know what? You got the offseason. Guess what? Kyrie Irving's got time off. Lo and behold, I mean, surprise, surprise, surprise. There's additional time off for Kyrie Irving. He don't have to work in the May. It ain't even May yet. He don't have to work in the May. He damn sure don't have to work in the June. So now he's got off May, June, July, August, September, and he's got to show up to work 6 months later, all right? 6 months later in October. And that's after having over six, you know, about 50 games off this year, okay? This is what the problem is. And I look at Kyrie Irving, and what appalls me is that I have to sit up here and talk about a brother's money as if he doesn't deserve it. So I want to make sure that I'm clear with what I'm about to say to the American people out there and beyond, because we're seeing in China and other places throughout this world. Let me say this. As I've said before, Kyrie Irving is worth the money. The brother is box office. And when I say to you, I would never give him a long-term deal, I'm not implying that I wouldn't give him the money. What I'm saying is, it would be an opt-out after every year if I could pull it off. You got to show up to work. Because that is at the heart of all of this. Kendrick Perkins, if Kyrie Irving was there throughout this season, do the Nets get swept in this series? I don't think so. I think everybody knows the answer to that question is no. There might have been a better chance for them to win the series. I still thought they were going to win the series. There's no way in hell they get swept if they're an actual team. The problem is they're not. And when you've got a guy like Kevin Durant, who is the face, who is the franchise player, we know what's inhibiting Joe Sada, owner. We know what's inhibiting Sean Marks, the general manager. They want to do one thing, but they know KD might be against it. You can't alienate that brother. So he's got the franchise strap. That is why Kyrie would utter that nonsensical drivel out of his mouth. We gon' manage. We gon' manage. Like you should be, like you're worthy of being in the room when they're planning the future of this organization. Don't you need to show up to work first? Don't you need to be a reliable commodity that they look at and they say, okay, we know this brother's gonna be there? Because guess what? The Brooklyn Nets have to manage their way around the possibility that Kyrie Irving might not be available. It is shameful. It's embarrassing. It's really disheartening that it's in this situation. And what's most disheartening is that you have people out there in the NBA and outside the NBA, like that fan base in Brooklyn or what have you, that would support the inactivity of Kyrie Irving.
Perk, before you jump in here, though, Stephen A., I don't want to conflate two issues, though. Kevin Durant did look hurt to me, and I thought he handled that press conference perfectly. I don't think he could have said anything better.
No. What I'm saying is, that's why I came. If you remember, I said KD and Kyrie, and then I said Kyrie didn't look
but I
like it fazed him at all. Kevin Durant, here's the problem. Kevin Durant does care. I would never accuse him of such a thing. You got to care enough to hold him accountable. And guess what? You can sit up there and say all the right things, but then if you go into the office and you tell Marks and you tell Joe Sinem, I don't give a damn what you want. I want Kyrie Irving here. Then you're handcuffing the franchise.
Stephen, let me say this. If I'm Kevin Durant, okay, I would want the hell out. I would want to get far away as possible from the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie Irving. I would ask for a trade. And guess what? Nobody better look down on Kevin Durant. Because you want to know why? The one person that has given his all since he signed with this organization
is Kevin Durant.
Has been Kevin Durant. Nobody else has. Even Steve Nash. I mean, I kept waiting to see when Steve Nash is going to make an adjustment. Steve Nash, when are you actually going to do something? Steve Nash, does KD have to continuously bail you out? Or are you going to help KD get bailed out of this situation that he's in right now as far as going against the defense of the Boston Celtics? I'm telling you right now, Kevin Durant deserves better. Now, could he have played better? Absolutely. But it happens. But I tell you one thing, if I'm Kevin Durant, I want to get away from this madness. I want to go somewhere where I know that a guy's going to show up to work. My counterpart is going to be there 100% of the time. I don't have to guess what he's thinking. I don't have to guess if he actually is fully committed. I don't want to guess if off-the-court activities or brotherhood or social justice means a lot more to him than the game of basketball. And I'm not knocking it about Kyrie Irving. Because here's the thing, too. Let me address something about this quote-unquote NBA brotherhood, okay? See, the NBA brotherhood is some real brothers out there, but then there's some other brothers who just use that brotherhood term when it's convenient for them. Okay, they only want to be part of the brotherhood when it's convenient for them. Now, they do have some real ones, but on the other side, they do have a whole lot of fake ones. But at the end of the day, my point is right now, if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm getting the hell out. Kevin Durant deserves better.
But this is a guy that realistic? Has...
Well, it's not... Let me say this. Kevin Durant is under contract for the next several years. Yeah. Here's where I disagree with Kendrick Perkins. Yeah, you can ask out. Why do that when it's much easier for you to sit up there and say, I want him out? Think about it. We know he's not going to do it. But what I'm saying to you is, listen, it's the same thing because the bottom line is, if you want to get away from Kyrie Irving, why do you need to relocate? I got faith in Josiah. I got faith in Sean Marks. I got faith in the Brooklyn Nets organization. What I'm saying is, if you got Kevin Durant and he's saying, excuse me, I want cats here who are all in all the time because we're trying to win a chip, then that to me is easier than him relocating.
But
you
got to
find a partner. You got to find the right deal. How do you get equitable compensation for the greatness of Kevin Durant?
But
I don't know if you can pull that off.
But let me ask you a question, Stephen A. Where was Kevin Durant supposed to be anyway? You come on here and you tell me. Okay.
Knicks.
So do you honestly believe that Kevin Durant's heart is in Brooklyn? Kevin Durant is in Brooklyn because Kyrie wanted to be in Brooklyn. And so he wanted to play with Kyrie. So obviously he went there because the quote-unquote brotherhood. So what I'm saying is that we know that his heart is not in Brooklyn. His heart may be with Kyrie, but it's not committed to the Brooklyn organization.
What I'm saying, I'm only addressing your point about him leaving. I'm saying, if you're saying, Kendrick Perkins, he should want to get the hell out of Brooklyn and the hell away from Kyrie Irving. My point is that it's easier for the Nets to part ways with Kyrie.
And who they gonna get back? Who's going to take – let me ask you a question.
Well, that is a good question.
What team in the NBA is going to take Kyrie Irving at this moment? Honestly, Stephen A., what team in the NBA that you know that's going to take a chance on Kyrie Irving not knowing if he's going to be available for work?
Well, he is approaching the last year of his contract, so that's there's always somebody. Like we say with Russell Westbrook, who's over $47 million next season, there is somebody that might want that money off their cap. Now, if Kyrie had a long-term deal, then the answer would be no one would want to take that chance at this particular juncture. But with him approaching the last year of his deal, there's somebody you could find.
Yeah, but the difference between Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving is that Russell Westbrook just had a bad season. Russell Westbrook is always going to show up to work. Whether he's making 47 or 57, Russell Westbrook is going to show up to work. So you can actually take a chance because you could release the money the following year, but you know that 1 year, he's going to show up to work and give it his all. We don't know that about Kyrie Irving. See, and that's the problem. You don't know what Kyrie Irving head is right now. And listen, here it is, Stephen A. Even if Kyrie if his head is in a space where he wants to be heavily involved in the community or anything to do social justice or things to that nature, guess what? I'm not looking down on him. All I'm saying is make it very, very clear what side of the fence that you're standing on. Let us know if you're fully committed 100% to the game of basketball. That's all. And look, here's another thing. I saw frustration in Kevin Durant. I saw frustration. And not just because of the Boston Celtics defense, but Kevin Durant had to deal with a lot this season. Kevin Durant had to deal with Kyrie not showing up. Kevin Durant had to pull the trigger of trading James Harden and getting back Ben Simmons, another guy who we question is committed to the game of basketball. And Kevin Durant getting to this part of the season, and all of a sudden, because of Kyrie religion, which I'm not looking down on, he's fasting at this point. Wouldn't you be mentally exhausted if you was Kevin Durant?
Well, I think
he is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but here's my question to you. Let's do this thought experiment. So say Kevin Durant goes, it's realistic, he can get out of his deal, and he's going to go. So where do you go, Perk? What's the right situation for him? Because now went to Golden State. Now went here. He wanted to create his own super team rather than join one.
I tell you what, I wouldn't mind seeing them play alongside LeBron James. I wouldn't mind him taking his talent to the Los Angeles Lakers.
That would never happen. You know
I'm
that.
Just telling you. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, that would never happen. Never.
I would never say never.
No. Okay.
Let's keep it going here, guys. So the Warriors remain atop the favorites to win it all with their 3-1 series lead over the Nuggets. The Celtics have climbed to second following the sweep of KD, Kyrie, and the Nets. And Phoenix hanging in there in third, even in Booker's absence. So where do the Celtics rank amongst the NBA's best teams right now, Stephen A.?
Me personally, I got them right now as the best team in the Eastern Conference. That's how I feel about them because of the way they play defense collectively. That's where I'm at with it. I understand the presence of Giannis Antetokounmpo and how he can neutralize anything or nullify anything. I also am watching Miami, and quietly, we all know I'm rooting for the Miami Heat. I mean, it ain't quiet no more. I'm just not denying it. I'm rooting for the Miami Heat, okay? I'm rooting for the Miami Heat. That's where I want to be in June and May. I want to be because we got the Eastern Conference Finals. ESPN has the Eastern Conference Finals this year. So, damn it, I'm not apologizing. I want Miami to win. But the bottom line is that when you look at Boston and the way they play defense collectively, along with the emergence of a Jason Tatum with a Jaylen Brown and what have you, they made me a little bit nervous last night once Jason Tatum fouled out from that game. I'm just of the mindset that when you really, really look at it right now, because of the way Boston plays defense, because you got two dudes that can give you a bucket, because of the defensive wizardry of Marcus Smart and the coaching of Udoka, I'm just of the mindset that right now, I shouldn't say coaching, because even though I love Udoka a lot, I love me some Eric Spoelstra as well, who I consider to be one of the best in the game. But the bottom line, I think right now, if somebody said to me, I mean, who you rolling with, it would be Boston. I'm hoping Miami, though.
Well, Boston is the best team in the NBA. Let's make that very, very
clear. In the NBA?
In the NBA. You heard what I see.
When did you decide that, in all seriousness? I'm not messing with you.
No, really, because, Molly, think about this. You remember we were on the show and I said I would pick Boston to be my favorite. Mm-hmm. But the only reason that I didn't was because of the injury of Robert Williams. Yep. But what the Celtics have shown me is no other team in the NBA that's in the postseason that would have swept and did what they just did to the Brooklyn Nets. That's how great they are defensively. And I know we keep talking about how good or how much of a juggernaut Golden State the Warriors are. But still and all, offense win you games, defense win you championships. And when I look at these guys as far as their defensive lineup, it's no other team that have the perimeter defenders like the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum right now is the best two-way player in the game. Jaylen Brown, we know how he locks down defensively. And don't get me started on Marcus Smart and what he could do to a person. And then you have Big Al Horford, Robert Williams, Grant Williams, and Daniel Tice, who all the defensive-minded people and are capable of sliding those puppies. So when I look at this Celtic team, I'm looking at their defense and I'm saying, who want to face them? Who can't they stop? Go look at the season series when they played against the Miami Heat. I think the Celtics was up 3-1 in that season series. Look, Jason Tatum is a top three player in the NBA. This mean version of Jason Tatum, nobody wants to see. And Jaylen Brown playing with a chip on his shoulder, the way that both of them are coexisting on the offensive end, nobody wants to see this team, bro, because nobody would have ever exposed Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving like these brothers exposed them. Not one team that's in the playoffs would have swept this Brooklyn Nets team but the Boston Celtics.
I disagree. I think the Golden State Warriors would have swept them.
They ain't sweet Denver.
So what? I mean, listen, first of all, the altitude in Denver, certainly that's number one. Number two, they sat up there and they took for granted because they knew they had him and what have you. We got all of that. That stuff happens.
Excuses.
All right. Jokic, 36 and 36 plus. I mean, we know what they bring to the table. The point that I'm trying to make, I didn't sit up there and say, excuse me, you gotta remember, basketball character, Denver showed it. What did Coach Malone say after they lost game three? He said, yo, we going to find out what we made of. You going to fight or you going to just lay down and let this season come to an end? You going to fight or what? And Denver stood up because they got that kind of basketball character. Let's give credit where credit is due. We'd be talking a lot more about Denver's Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. were healthy. Okay, we'd be talking a lot more about them. They are simply, they got two of their three stars injured. That's the reality of the situation. But you look at Barton and Morris and all these guys, they're not scrubs. They're not stars, but they're not scrubs. I know you didn't say that, but I'm saying they're not stars, but they're not scrubs. They can play, and you know, they got a lot of heart. They ain't scared, and they go out there, and they gonna fight you, all right? And that's what they did in game four. I'm telling you, it's not about you're looking at Brooklyn from a talent perspective. I'm looking at Brooklyn from a character perspective. When you talk about nobody else would have beaten them, I say nobody else would have swept them. I say otherwise. And I say otherwise because we've had questions about the collective character, and it's not to knock any player specifically outside of Kyrie and Ben Simmons. We understand that they're dealing with a lot. But in the end, because of the distractions both have caused throughout this season, they have been a dysfunctional bunch in Brooklyn, and I think they could have been had. Once they lost game one, you just saw
things just snowball from there.
Yeah, you know why it snowballed from there? Because of the Celtics and their tenacity and their defense, because they knew they was outmanned. Stephen A.
You also brought up Kyrie. You brought up Kyrie and how obviously he was going, you know, he's fasting and all that stuff, so the level of energy he didn't have. You brought that stuff up. We know what the Ben Simmons story is. You know that.
Yeah, but Stephen A., guess what? It ain't too many Marcus Smarts on the other teams. This is the defensive player of the year. That's why it hurt Kyrie Irving. Yeah, he was faster, but it's not a dog like a Marcus Smart. You know what I'm saying? Like I told you before, hey, man, you throw Marcus Smart in the cage with five lions, you know what you're going to get? Six lions. Because that's the type of heart that he plays with. That's the type of dog that he is. But, Stephen A., this is what I want to tell you. Kevin Durant is a two-time champion, two-time finals MVP.
Correct.
Kyrie Irving is a champion. Kyrie Irving is battle-tested. Kyrie Irving hit one of the greatest shots in finals history. Okay? Kyrie Irving was down 3-1. I don't think you're understanding that the Boston Celtics made Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving quit. They made them quit. They made them quit, Stephen A. Quit. Well, they didn't even want to play no more. They were shying away from the basketball, going hide in the corner. No other team has the perimeter play on the defensive side of things to make a Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant quit. No other team.
What you're missing, Kendrick Perkins, is you're thinking the Boston Celtics made them quit. One could argue they quit a long time before the playoffs arrived. Maybe not as an individual player like Kevin Durant. But when you look at all the nonsense that was taking place this year, the reality of the situation is you can make that argument that they've been planned their vacation.
Yeah, but I can't say that because they fought so hard to get into the play-in tournament and then win the play-in games. Mm-hmm. So that's why I can't roll with that.
Okay.
Because they fought so hard to get to that point.
Okay.
Big Perk, let me ask you this. What did you think of the fact that Ben Simmons didn't show up?
Man, Molly, I don't know if you into social media a lot.
I'm not.
Be on Twitter. Okay, cool.
Yesterday
on NBA Today, I said that Ben Simmons is that pretty girl that's single. And everybody's wondering why she's single. Because she smokes cigarettes. That's who Ben Simmons is. The single girl that smokes cigarettes. Newport shorts at that.
What?
I don't even know.
Let me ask you, I need clarification.
I need clarification.
What does smoking, what does the smoking cigarette part have to do
because,
with it? Can you explain
because,
that?
Because it's like this here, Stephen A. Everybody see Ben Simmons and they say, oh, this is who he is. He's his upside and, you know, he has the physique, the body, the athleticism. But we don't know if he loved the game of basketball. So my thing is that when he goes to the organization, like when he goes to an organization and things to that nature, people start realizing who the hell Ben Simmons is. Like, for example, the Brooklyn Nets, when they pulled the trigger, they wonder why the Philadelphia 76ers didn't want that pretty girl no more. They got him, and then they realized, I don't want him. This is why. He come up with an excuse. Yes, he has the physical talent and the physical gifts, but he don't love the game of basketball.
That is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, I just want to be clear on one thing. So I get the pretty girl. I get the Newport shorts kind of.
Newport cigarettes.
Yes,
Molly.
I get it. I don't know how to call it. I never smoked cigarettes. Okay, whatever. I get all that part.
All right.
But this is what I want to ask. When yesterday we sat here, who are we with? Jay Will and Tim Legler, and everyone kind of crushed Ben Simmons' outfits. He's standing in front of the camera where he sat on the bench. He's clapping, trying to be on TV, kind of becoming a sideshow, how he's walking and et cetera. So then he chooses not to come last night. But you think that was the wrong decision?
Yeah. I mean, like, this is the thing. Every time that we try to address or it's time for Ben Simmons to get held accountable, guess what Ben Simmons do? He hide. So when y'all addressed him yesterday and everybody around the world was addressing him yesterday, What did Ben Simmons do? When people were talking about him sitting on the bench, clapping his outfits, what happened? He hid in the back in the locker room. That's what he do. When adversity hits, he hides.
Let me tell you this. I'll get into Ben Simmons a little bit later because the one and only Mr. Jamie Foxx went on social media and clapped at me about my position on Ben Simmons. I'm going to save what I got to say to address Mr. Jamie Foxx in just a few minutes. I'll wait for that.
Okay.
I'll wait for that.
Fair enough. We can leave it there, but wanted to get Big Burke's take on the record.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We'll keep it rolling here, guys. Philly is where we're going to pick things up. Took a 15-point L on their home floor as Toronto claws back into the series, now only down 3-2. And that was without Fred VanVleet. Joel Embiid dealing with a thumb injury, scored 20. And James Harden still not putting up the numbers needed, 15-2-7. Joel Embiid was asked about James Harden's struggles.
I've been saying all season since he got here, you know, he just needs to be aggressive and he needs to be himself. That's not really my job. That's probably on coach to, you know, talk to him and tell him to, you know, take more shots, especially if they're going to guard me the way they've been guarding. That's really not my job.
All right, game 6 in Toronto on Thursday. Big Perk. Has Harden become a liability?
He has. And I think we all need to come to realization that James Harden's game is on the decline right before our very eyes. Because if you look around the NBA and you look around this particular series right now, this game comes down to your superstars leading the way and getting buckets. It's no schemes. It's no offensive sets. It's nothing that you can run. It comes down to high pick and roll, getting the switch, and your superstars taking you home. We watched Giannis do it. We watched Luka do it last night. We watched Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown do it. The fact of the matter is this. James Harden doesn't have the explosiveness no more. James Harden can't get to the basket like he used to get to the basket. James Harden can't even create enough separation to get his three-point shot off anymore. This is James Harden, and this is who he is, and I think we have to accept that. And yes, he has become a liability for the Philadelphia 76ers, because if you look at their three wins, it wasn't on the back of James Harden. It was on the back of Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. And we can't continue to ask Tyrese Maxey to bring this team home and not hold James Harden accountable, but James Harden just don't have it no more. And offensively, he's a liability for the Philadelphia 76ers.
So much of Tyrese Maxey's success in those first two games were because of the attention they paid to James Harden. They were sitting in the gaps at the nail on every ISO. How many times do we see over the first two games just a quick swing pass to Maxey where he's got a lineup three or he's able to attack a closeout? James Harden is not a liability perk. Is James Harden the same player that we saw in Houston or pre-hamstring injury in Brooklyn? No, he's not. So I think our view of who James Harden is has to change. Liability is the wrong word. James Harden is still a very effective playmaker and facilitator. He averaged over 10 assists a game while he was in Brooklyn this year, while he was in Philly. He's averaging over 9 in this series. In the 21 games he played for the Sixers this year, on-off net rating, They're 13, almost 14 points better with him on the court. Here's my worry on this, though. Let's say the Sixers get by the Raptors. Against the Miami Heat, he's going to be faced with Jimmy Butler, PJ Tucker. It's a lot of the same of what we're seeing in this series. Big two-way wings. I don't know who needs to hear this, by the way, because it's not on the docket. It's not on the docket for today. But Jimmy Butler has been the best player in these playoffs. When we look at points added on offense, Jimmy Butler first. Points saved on defense, Jimmy Butler second to Giannis. He has been far and away, through four or five games in every series, he's been far and away the best player in these playoffs.
But what about, what about his matchup, though, compared to
Some of it is that. Some of it is Matt. But I said this last week. The Heat match up well against the Sixers because of what I talked about. They've got depth. They've got a switching five in Bam Adebayo. With a hobbled Joel or an injured Joel not being at 100% and James Harden unable, because this is a trend, unable to score efficiently. Even if Philly gets by this series, they're in a lot of trouble against the Miami Heat.
Yeah, but we're talking about the now.
You said the liability is the wrong word, though. Liability is the wrong word.
No, actually, the liability is the right word because James Harden is struggling to actually get 20 points, J.J. Redick. And with Joel Embiid being injured, James Harden doesn't have the capability of taking over the game anymore offensively. I don't care about the facilitating. The assisting don't ring a bell to me right now. That don't just elevate. That's not what the James Harden that the 76ers need right now. Because of Joel Embiid being injured, that means, yes, he is a liability because he can't close or take over the game. So how is that not being a liability if you can't take over the game?
Well, I'm with JJ on this in terms of the word liability because just because you can't take over the game doesn't make you a liability. When I think liability, I think Ben Simmons. That's what I think. That's apropos. That's kind. That's entirely too kind a word liability when it comes to a Ben Simmons. And considering the franchise that he came from, which is the Philadelphia 76ers, I mean, Harden is heaven because guess what? At least he's on the court, all right? But I get where you're coming from, Perk. Here's the deal. You and J.J. Redick, especially you, J.J., are we really, really going to sit here and act like we don't suspect what's going on? James Harden has not been the same since his hamstring. Fair enough. James Harden looks like he lost a step. He ain't the same player that he was in Houston, just like KP just highlighted. Check. Obviously so. Let me give y'all these numbers. Last nine games or so during the regular season, five games during the playoffs.
2 for 11, 9 of 17, 4 of 15, 4 of 10, 4 of 13, 4 of 10, 3 of 12, then a slide 7 to 16 in there. All right? For game one of this series. 6 of 17 since game one. 3 of 9, 7 of 13, 5 of 17, 4 of 11. Now, is James Harden really that bad? Has he really lost that much of a step, J.J. Redick? Or is it that you wanted to get out of Houston, so you got to Brooklyn, and then when you got to Brooklyn, you really wanted to get to Philly, and so obviously you told Steve Nash one thing, you do another, you end up getting out the door, which is what you really wanted, because we know what he's willing to do, and now you in Philly, and all these rumors are circulating, that if things don't work out, Doc Rivers gonna be gone, and Mike D'Antoni's gonna be in there. Who wants Mike D'Antoni as the coach? We all know. Daryl Morey's one of them. James Harden's another. Is that going to happen if James Harden is looking all world? Is that going to happen if Philadelphia is winning? If that's going to happen, if
James Harden, after wanting that trade, isn't playing well to get a new coach.
What I'm saying to you is this. James Harden, you could talk about he's struggling all you want to. All I'm saying is, can we ask the question, is he really this inefficient? I've never seen it. Can y'all explain to me? Can you, can you truly explain that? So in other words, all those numbers that I threw out there, and again, I'm not trying to sit up there saying that brother playing bad on purpose. What I'm saying to y'all is this. When you are devoid of the passion and the enthusiasm to do something, does it not affect y'all play? Y'all played. I'm asking.
Stephen A., listen, man. James Harden's game is on a decline right now offensively. He's not the same James Harden of old. He can't get by people. He doesn't have the explosiveness. He doesn't have enough stuff in him to even create his sidestep three-point shot. Like, at this moment of time, you need James Harden to elevate. Let me tell you the worst thing that happened for the Philadelphia 76ers. Fred VanVleet got hurt. And I'm going to say this, and I say this respectfully, because now when you look at the lineup that Nick Nurse put out there, guess what? You got 6'4", 6'6", 6'7", 6'10", 6'10". And so they're switching everything, and they're athletic. So now all of a sudden when James Harden gets to going isolation at the top of the key, he is not getting by anybody no more. And the world knows this. So, Stephen A., you going to sit up here and act like we didn't really know the truth of what was going on with Kyrie Irving and James Harden before he got traded? You didn't go to the Brooklyn Nets game and saw Kyrie Irving pick up James Harden full court because he know that James Harden is losing it. He don't have it no more. Man, listen, if y'all go sit up here and defend James Harden and say that he's not a liability right now for the 76ers, I feel sorry for y'all loss.
Perk, I just want to say one thing about Fred VanVleet. I'm not going to let you slander his defense.
I did not slander his name. I said respectfully. I said not because of what he
brings up. You insinuated that he's not even a good defensive player. He's actually a great defensive player. He's a great defensive player. I realize he doesn't have the size. But he has been a great defensive player over the last few seasons. On the Harden front, Stephen A., I strongly disagree with your notion here, because James Harden is motivated. The idea that he's not fully invested or something and doesn't want to play well because he's not passionate, he's got a lot of money on the line. He's well aware of the discourse around his playoff history and the fact that he hasn't won a championship. Maybe, as Perk said, maybe it's okay just to admit that he's got a lot of miles on his body. He had a serious hamstring injury. He hasn't fully recovered. He hasn't been himself physically. And he's not the same player. It doesn't have to do with any underlying
Or maybe he's motivation. Just a great regular season player, like a Peyton Manning.
See, this is the crazy part. This is when I have to go into my bag, and I hate it. You know who I was on the phone with last night? I was on the phone with Sam Cassell, okay? And who, if you don't know who Sam Cassell is, he's sitting about three seats down from Doc Rivers. He's an assistant coach for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's a three-time world champion, all that above. Sam, I am. Sam Cassell told me, and it's the reason that I sat up here and tried to come on here and tell y'all that he told me the worst thing that could have happened for them was the size and the length, and no disrespect to Fred VanVleet, but James Harden struggles with the size and the length of those guys on the perimeter. And so what I'm saying is, listen, JJ, here's the thing. All I'm telling you is...
I'm telling you that Sam is wrong, because this isn't a one-game thing that James Harden all of a sudden shot 4 for 11 last night because Fred VanVleet wasn't in the game. Sam doesn't know what he's talking about. I love Sam, but that's wrong. That's wrong.
Sam don't know what he's talking about. Hold on.
Let me, I love Sam.
Sam's got three championships. JJ. Sam don't know what he's talking about.
Well, he was just talking about that one point, Kendrick Perkins. That's all. Just like people will sit up there and grab one point you make and try to generalize it. All right. JJ Redick disagrees with that one point. That's all he was saying.
Yes, correct.
That's all he was saying. The point that I'm trying to make to y'all is this. James Harden was so electrifying as an offensive player that he could have slippage and not look as pedestrian as he's looked over the last few weeks. Are we not going to ask why? I'm sitting here, I'm the only person that's sitting there. I mean, we all notice what the drop-off has been like. We know that it was existing before this Toronto series, before Fred VanVleet went down, before he had 6'10 cat switching on him, before all of that. We were watching. We were here on First Take, Kendrick. We were here on First Take, JJ, talking about the slippage. We also talked about the aspirations that the reports are going throughout the NBA community of Daryl Morey wanting Mike D'Antoni and James Harden wanting Mike D'Antoni. Now we hear Joel Embiid in a press conference talking about how, well, I don't know that area, but you got to let James play his game and all of that other. Where that coming from? We going to sit up here and act like, you know what, Stephen A. is just in the clouds. I'm just in the clouds here. We watching the guy play. We know what he's capable of, even with slippage. We know what he's capable of, even with the hamstring injury, even with going to Brooklyn. The brother turned into a triple-double and was an MVP candidate last year. Even with his game changing and him not being what he was in Houston. We didn't see this. So, Kendrick, I'm not disagreeing with you. And, JJ, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying there's a different component. And mark my words, because we see, this is the beauty of the position that I'm in. We hear all of these reactions, and then weeks or months down the road, it's like, damn. It looks that way now. Damn. It makes sense. I'm not trying to sit up there and say he's lackadaisical or anything like that. I'm saying the slippage has been so dramatic. Yep. It's not but James Harden-like.
But when has he been great in the playoffs? That was the indictment going in. Hold on, let me say one thing.
But I brought it up before what is happening before the playoffs.
But that is insinuating that he wants to lose to get a new coach.
Joel Embiid didn't have a great game last night either. It's not about losing. It's about a coach putting you in positions that you may not necessarily agree with. So you're going to go out there and give your best. But when things don't work out, you in the locker room afterwards talking about, I should be in a better position. Why would J.J. Redick, you're a former teammate of Joel Embiid. Tell me one time. Kendrick Perkins, tell me one time y'all have heard Joel Embiid go into a post-game. He didn't even do that when it was Brett Brown. Am I lying?
He didn't do that with who?
Brett Brown. He didn't even do that with Brett Brown. I'm talking about it in the press conference.
You mean him addressing Harden?
There was multiple times he did it with Brett Brown, and I talked to Joel about this. The Christmas Day game in 2018, he talked about Brett Brown in the press conference and how he didn't like the offense we were running.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about when you're talking on behalf of another player.
Stephen A., now you're taking it out of context because he said the question was asked to him, why is James Harden not being aggressive? And he said, I've told him that a few times. The coach need to tell him to be more aggressive, I guess. That's okay. All he's saying. And okay. Listen, when you talk about – here's the thing. Let me correct you on something. Sure. When you talk about putting a guy in position to be successful – tell me, what the hell do you want Doc Rivers to do?
No, I James don't have a problem with what Doc Rivers is doing.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, the same, what system can you possibly run? James Harden has the ball in his hands. James Harden is initiating the offense. James Harden has
I agree.
Okay, so it's not like Doc Rivers sitting up and running sets?
No, I'm bringing it up because of what Joel Embiid said. I'm saying to you, and not only that, the report, Kendrick Perkins, we talked about this. We like, where the hell are these reports coming from? But keep in mind, well, let me remind y'all, I worked in Philly for 17 years. It's not an accident.
You're coming back. We're up against it. Let me get into a quick commercial break here.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.